Here's Craig Bolanos. He's the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. For more information, you can always check out his website, getretiredstayretired.com. Hi, Craig. Welcome back to the show.
John, great to be with you. A terrific Tuesday. No, wait, terrific, not so much. The Dow's down 300 points.
Yeah. Is that because of the inflation going up to 2.7? What's happening here?
Now, I think the second half of the year story is going to be a story probably of slower growth, and I think we're going to finally start seeing some of the price pressures come through on tariffs. John, I've lived through three markets inside of 9 months. I've lived through Trumponomics, recession paranoia, and then ignore the macro and focus on the positive. Which of those three is going to be right in the second 6 months? Time's only going to tell.
Yeah. Well, what's your guess? I mean, do you think that inflation number is a blip and it's going to go back down? And if it goes back down, maybe the Fed finally gets off the dime. But if it stays at 2.7 and goes higher, maybe we get no interest rate reductions this year.
Oh, boy, don't ever say that, John. I'm still looking for a rate reduction in September and a second follow-on act before we close out the books on 2025. If we didn't have any interest rate cuts, then this market is completely mispriced, not just on the fixed income side, but also the equity side of the ledger. But I do think that the inflation data is proof that there is some drag-along effect, especially on consumer prices, on the tariffs. After all, we didn't have any to start the year, and now they're here. We have to expect that there might be more of this price pressure to come.
Well, then what do you think is going to motivate the Fed?
You know, well, there's a lot of jab. I mean, right now, I haven't seen a White House and a Federal Reserve this much at odds in the media in such a long time, the way they're talking or barking at each other. You know, what I say, what is going to motivate the Fed? The Fed has two jobs. Their job is to maintain stable prices, and their job, don't forget, is to maximize employment. And if we do see some price pressures continuing to build, leading to slower growth, that's a code word for some more job loss in the second half of the year, and the Fed's not going to want to see that. Even though the jobs numbers today are still terrific by long-term standards, the Fed wants to keep everybody employed because that's what keeps America on top economically.
Well, are we at full employment right now?
Well, I would argue we're at full employment because the history book tells me that, you know, unemployment in this country typically runs at a clip of 5.1 to 5.7%, depending on how you're measuring it. And anytime we're well sub 5, which we are and which we've been for a long time, it feels pretty much like full employment. That's why I've referred to it as Goldilocks. But remember, the Fed does care about the wealth effect, even if they say they don't. I think they'd like to see Goldilocks continue as long as possible.
So what's your forecast then for the markets for the second half of the year then?
I think everyone should just understand something you and I have talked about before. Just because things haven't turned out as bad as we feared, it's not necessarily the same as good. So am I optimistic that fair value on the S&P 500 remains somewhere between 6,100 and 6,500? You bet. I think that's fair value. Right now today, John, we're right smack in the middle of those numbers, plus or minus 6,250. So I think armed with that information, people should have some more pragmatic optimism and look to diversify their diversifiers, which maybe means getting some additional international, that's a geography lesson, and continuing to focus on other forms of income generation.
But don't you think we're going to yet see an impact on tariffs impacting the economy?
Well, you know what? So let me be very, very clear. I do believe the market growth from this point forward is going to slow. Think of how fantastic the market has been May, June, and thus far in July of 2025. And I gave you the high end of my range, which is 6,500 on the S&P 500. That means we've only got about 3% left in the tank based on the current conditions that are here. Am I worried about a sizable downside risk and going all the way back to the recession paranoia that gripped everybody in March and April of 25? No, I'm not, because the only way that's going to play out is if the entire taco thesis is wrong. And John, Today is Taco Tuesday. I think taco is still on the table.
I'm pausing just to interpret that. I know what taco means now, but this negotiation process that the president has been using seems to have we've recovered, let's put it this way, from Liberation Day, right? So I think it's a real mystery about how hardball the president is going to play and whatever, you know, cards that he ends up playing, how much impact that's going to have on markets. I don't think we really know yet.
No, we don't know, and that's why I think people should be controlling what they can control. And one of the things we all can control is the risk budget in our portfolio, which is making sure we're not being too complacent, making sure we have a disciplined approach to rebalance from stocks to bonds or other safe alternatives, because I think a lot of investors have used a buy the dip mentality with tremendous success over the last 5 years, and that continues to work up until it doesn't.
So you said you like international stocks right now?
I think people deserve to not have such a home bias. There's nothing wrong with having a home bias. America is great. Everyone flies the flag. It's not just the 4th of July. It's an all-the-time thing. But I think when you look at people's portfolios, most people have missed the fact that from October of 22 up until today, international investments like EAFE, Europe and Far East, have been doing better than the USA index. What does that mean? A lot of money is in mutual funds and ETFs. And a lot of money gets into mutual funds and ETFs based on three-year numbers, John. We're going to come up on a three-year back test come October of this year. And I think when people see those numbers in dollar terms, more fund flow is going to go internationally. So it's not too late. I think people should look to diversify their diversifiers. And if you're all U.S., all S&P 500, I think you got to spread the risk around.
So you started to answer the question then. So how do you do that? What do you put that money in? Like, I would know what an S&P index fund looks like. Is it an ETF? And is there a Europe or Asia-based ETF? Or is it more cap size? Or is it more sector? What's an international investment look like to you?
Well, I think the internet's democratized information. So for anybody who's out there listening to us, which I know is a large audience on your show, John Williams, I think people can go online if they're not currently working with a great advisor, and they can Google, per se, some great broad-based international diversified index funds that are going to get people access into Europe and Far East, broad-based developed markets, and some exposure to emerging markets. And if people want to learn more, they can connect with a great advisor like us, John, at GetRetiredStayRetired.com. We'll give people our curated list. But the bottom line is, if you find your portfolio being grossly overweight to just the S&P 500, mm-hmm. I think you're taking on some asymmetrical risk, and I think you need to diversify into the second half of the year.
Well, I also wanted to ask you about some fixed income products, but we'll do that in a minute. It's 12:44. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Craig Bolanos is on the line. We're talking to Craig Bolanos. He's the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. For more information, their website is GetRetiredStayRetired.com. We really haven't talked about NVIDIA, the $4 trillion company, and chips to China. What should we know about that, Craig?
Well, it looks like the chips are going to be moving again. And isn't this just proof once again that the intrinsic value from AI is pushing its footprint all across the globe? And yeah, I mean, we're no longer going to curb as much of the exports to some of our competitors like China. The Trump administration just went ahead and eased that export earlier today. Maybe that's in response to what President Trump is trying to negotiate with Russia, trying to get Russia to comply on Ukraine and doing some olive branches to some of Russia's largest trading partners like the Chinese and India.
So we are allowing the sale of NVIDIA chips to China, which is not the same as a tariff on China. What about their exports to us? Where are we on that?
You know what? I think I just had an out-of-body exorcism over the course of the year. John, I'll be honest with you. I've lost track between what's a reciprocal tariff and what's not. The bottom line is there's still an August 1st date that looms large for tariffs. I think we'll continue to move those dates back in the sand. But for countries that aren't viewed as our ally, the prices are going to remain elevated.
And that's Russia now?
Well, that's always been Russia, but certainly China. I'm not sure where we're going to be on the tariffs with China when everything is all said and done, John.
Right, but we've been late to the game with Russia on this, and now they've got 50 days, another random number from the president. But Russia trade isn't that important to us. Militarily, geopolitically, yes, but is trade with Russia that important?
Trade with Russia is directly not that important, but having a world that's in balance and a world that's not burning and ending the second largest land war since World War II in developed Europe would be a very nice win to calm markets and ease some of the pressures that are there that hang above all of us.
Well, what about fixed income? You were talking about international indices. Before the break, but what about fixed income here? What are you telling people about just parking their money and grabbing your 4% or whatever it is?
Well, I think you can get 4% in a money market. I would argue on fixed income or what most of us affectionately call bonds, John, it's a great opportunity. In fact, here are some of the numbers. I pulled it up on commercial break. People can invest with yields to maturity in high-quality corporates right now, and those high-quality corporates on a five-year run at 4.7, seven-year 5.1%. So if you wanted to buy some bonds, sit on them until maturity, you can just clip a guaranteed 4.7 and 5.1% taxable. But don't overlook tax-free income, John. You can only spend what you get to keep after taxes, and the municipal bond market is on sale. People today can buy seven-year tax-free munis just north of 4%. That's a tax equivalent yield of 6.5%. So if you can tell by the inflection in my voice, I think bonds are exciting. I think bonds are the ballast to people's portfolio. And I think more people should spend time generating and locking in income, because you want to lock in the income before the Fed lowers rates, which I still think happens at the end of the year.
So what's the balance then? Are you a 60-40 guy? I know it depends on the age, and I know I've asked you this before, but what do you think an appropriate ratio is, bonds to stocks?
I think an appropriate ratio for everybody is what gets them retired and keeps them retired. And depending on someone's cash flow needs, net worth, and risk budget, the answer is going to differ. But I think, John, what people should be looking at in today's environment is let's challenge the traditional 60-40, 60% stock, 40% bonds. I think it's a tried and true way to create and build wealth. But I think people can expand that 60-40 to maybe 60-30-10, that's 60% equities, 30% bonds, 10% alternatives, or some other variation of, because again, we want to diversify our diversifiers.
You've said that a few times now. I got to go, but what's the 10? What's that? Is that Bitcoin or something? What is that other 10?
Well, I mean, with Bitcoin at all-time highs, I don't think anyone's arguing if you had 1% of your portfolio value in everyone's cryptocurrency, which is Bitcoin. I think people can look at the trend that is infrastructure. I think people can look at the trend that is private credit, you know, that's business lending. And I think never say no to real estate. There's various forms of industrial warehousing and other forms of real estate that support all of this power generation that's going to be needed. All of those are tremendous diversifiers for those who want to push and learn more.
GetRetiredStayRetired.com. That's the website for Craig Bolanos. Okay, Craig, nice to talk to you as always.
Thanks, John.